This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Not even Aristotle or the Stoics that a lot of people revere nowadays. You know, it's all about the Marcus Aurelius stuff, which I actually disagree with a lot of. And I think he's a guy of pure wisdom in some aspects, but even he dismissed emotions.
And we know neuroscientifically, every single thought starts with an emotion. Here's the problem. People don't realize emotions are also created by the body. So like I use an example in the book. I was sitting here writing and I was struggling with something. So I got up and went down to make a cup of coffee. And as I came up, you know, I started writing and my writing was really angry. And I paused. I'm like, what's going on? Well, I traced back. Because what I was trying to get across to people, because people still think everything is by thought. What I realized is I went downstairs. I was barefoot. There's the coolness of the tile on my feet as I'm standing there making the cup of coffee. What I recognized is the coolness triggered a memory of when I was a child and my mom would give me ice baths because I ran such high fevers. I hate the cold. It pissed me off. Then I grabbed the cup of warm coffee. It soothed me. I went over. I grabbed a handful of popcorn from the night before, stuffed it in my mouth. Instantly felt guilt because feeling a little fat. Going, shoot, I probably should have waited. I turn the corner. I head up the stairs. Really loud car goes screaming by, honking its horn. Instantly enraged because I pictured my father's booming voice. Also, my older brother, when I was dead asleep, would scream in my ear. Walk upstairs. Well, no freaking wonder I'm writing angry. See, that's what people don't realize. They think they're thinking. Mm. All of those emotions created all of those thoughts, but we're not conscious and present to all of the things our bodies, because remember, our right hemisphere, our emotional hemisphere, takes in everything, all five senses, but it's too much to process. So it only holds on to what it feels is important. What it holds on to most is the trauma it's experienced. And so there's the perfect example of my brain and body holding on to the trauma that I've experienced, that it was totally out of conscious awareness, that I wasn't even thinking about. But because I know emotional authenticity, I use the process, was able to trace it all back and go, oh my God, I'm reliving my dad, my mom, my brother, blah, blah, blah. Well, no wonder I'm writing angry. Do the work, boom, now I see it. And so where did it lead me? Got me reattached. It got me out of shame and denial, the worst day cycle, last two stages. I got into truth, responsibility, healing, and forgiveness, the authentic self cycle through the process of emotional authenticity. What am I feeling? Where in my body do I feel it? What's my first memory? And in doing that, I reattach to my inherent value and worth, my authentic self. I see the picture of what's going on, and all I had to do was type in what I just went through. Boom, the perfect example that people need. But do you hear all the processes going on there? How many people know those processes? Like, nobody. Well, just that's why our world is the way.
Just step one is like, for most people that I've noticed, even for myself when I started, how do you do that? The self-awareness part.
Yeah. They wouldn't even think to trace their steps and they're so detached emotionally, they wouldn't know, they wouldn't connect the coolness of the tile on their feet to the ice baths or the guilt from the popcorn or the loud car to dad's voice. Like they don't have the depth and breadth and the specificity to their emotions to reconnect to themselves. They're detached from, I've spent decades cataloging, using what am I feeling, where am I body? So now all those memories surface. I get present to it, then break it down. I create a new simulation concept and definition for them. And that allows me to reattach to myself. And so I don't act out of the past. Well, we don't know how to do that. Well, that's why I wrote the book. Is here's how you do it. Now, it's going to take work, which we don't.
This is why I love very, very young kids that are very aware of their sensations and immediately call things out, even though obviously their brain is not developed enough to have some of the abilities that we have.
Yeah.
They're very honest. They're immediate. And some of those capabilities, have you noticed how they are?
Yeah, and that gets stripped. That's the attachment authenticity bind. They find that's their authenticity being expressed.
Yeah.
And then their parents squash that. And yeah, that's why kids smile 400 times a day, an adult less than 20.
Yeah.
Because the parents, because of their own shame, they shame that. They squash it. And yep, that's where deception starts, right there. Parents don't know how to deal with it. And yep, so
that's why I've noticed it's like we were born with this stuff. It's been stripped away for many of us.
All of us.
The natural element of our existence. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I talk about that. Why is everyone afraid to change? Well, I mean, not very few of us remember this. But what happens when a child first starts walking? What do they do? Crawling and walking. Where do they go and what do? They just go
to their parents.
They go anywhere. The stairs, the pool, like they're not afraid of anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just explore the world. Mm-hmm. What happens when they explore? What do parents do? Stop.
Don't go there. Don't touch that.
The parent is scared to death, has never dealt with their shame core, their fear core. So instead of from a calm, measured, emotionally balanced place, come over and, oh, look at, and scoop the child up, they, bam. Shame, anger, fear, over and over. And so now we're adults. Someone comes along and lays out a process and we go, oh my God, change. Boom. They're not even consciously aware that their fear of change is triggering being that age and going out exploring the world. What exploring? Me exploring? No. That didn't go well for me. And so they don't even know that that's what they're reliving in that moment. And then they'll hear me and go, you're just blaming parents. Boom. Shame. I'm not blaming parents. Look, we're human. But see, do you see? So it's like everything. It just goes right back to shame and denial. Shame and denial. Left hemisphere. Going to double down on its falseness and now make itself the victim that I'm blaming parents. Like, it's just a never-ending loop.
You know what's interesting, Kenny? I went on a trip on Disney recently. Disney World. Because I used to love that place when I was a child. And as an adult, I think, especially during this journey, you see things differently, especially with the awareness, not just of yourself, but your environment and those around you. And I noticed as I was walking and witnessing, you know, the multitudes of people, the duality, because it's the happiest place on earth described as that, right?
And they're all miserable.
And I was like, I do see some happy people, but I see a lot of miserable people too. That's what I noticed. Yeah. I was like, you know, when I was standing in lines, where I was walking, no matter, even in a ride. And the number one thing I noticed about those that were unhappy was somebody was treating them in an abusive manner. And they were allowing them. And it actually shocked me for the first time I witnessed this. So, because I was like, wow, because the company you keep around does really matter no matter where you're at, right? Even the happiest place on earth.
And what that tells me is they're just doing what was done to them as a child. They were abused as a child and they picked a partner and they're just reliving it. They're stuck.
Yeah. And what it also told me is a lot of people, I guess, go to Disney for escapism then. For fueling their denial. Think about it. They spend thousands and thousands. I mean, it's not cheap to go to Disney World, even for a day, I noticed. And so when I was witnessing this, I was like, man, so much for the happiest place on earth that we invest so much money and, you know, and energy, resources, think about it, savings on. like, but as I look at them, I can also see in their face how, for many of them, it's like all they live for. It's like the reason they saved all this money all year to then enjoy for these 2 weeks. And then they're having this experience. And then their face also shows, or maybe even their body, you know, through their health shows that they're about to, they're maybe enjoying this, but they're about to get back into the grind and the life that they don't really like. So, you know, it's been, you know, eye-opening to witness this with whole families. And I say duality because I did also see the other side. As I was standing in line, I saw a grandma holding a child, no more than like 2-3 years old, crying incessantly, loudly. And she was so calm, so loving. I was right behind her, so chill. And that I was like, I had to acknowledge it and tell her, I was like, you know, you are just an angel for that child. And she's like, oh, it's what grandmas do. And I was like, man, it is so beautiful to see this. And I think for me, it was even a part of my growth and my journey to see both sides. Because I think when we're facing denial, my experience has been that and I've seen it in others too, that's why I mention it, that it's easy to all of a sudden get into just seeing then the denial in others, the wrongdoings, the negative, and that's when blaming and criticizing starts to want to take on a more prominent role in our everyday life. But this duality has now introduced me to, okay, all the colors of the rainbow. Look at the good, look at the not so good. Look at the beautiful.
Yeah, because denial works in the opposite too. Like that's one thing I point out in the book is you're going to want to use these 21 mechanisms to figure out other people, but I'm not putting them in there so you can figure out how they're lying. I'm putting these in here so you can figure out how you lie. So you're right. The key is to quit spending so much time blaming them and making them the bad one, and instead get into truth, take responsibility, and look at how you're doing this yourself. Now, the other thing about denial and self-deception is, remember, judgment, blame, and criticism is about us. But so are compliments, praise. The positive is about us as well. So when you see greatness in others, the only reason you can see it in them is because it's in you. Well, that's a whole nother world. You want to talk about exposing somebody's shame? Mm-hmm. The second, you know, they're going, oh my God, you're so great. And you let them know, you do realize that's you talking to yourself. And they buckle underneath the weight of insignificance and go, I can never be that. Well, that's the detachment from self and inherent value and worth. That I find heartbreaking. That, you know, so both show, you know, the duplicity of that. Show how we're detached from ourselves.